The Ewan Grant Podcast, the Limestone Coast Triple M.
G'day, it's Ewan. Welcome to the Ewan Grant Podcast and welcome to everyone joining me on the Listener app. Elaine Pretorius, Executive Director of Medical Services at the Limestone Coast Local Health Network, joins me to chat about changes at the Mount Gambier Hospital as our borders reopen. Are you a farmer looking for another income stream? Liz McKinnon, the Executive General Manager of the Green Triangle Forestry Industries Hub, joins me to chat forestry. And there are changes being made to the James Morrison Academy of Music, and James has all the details of the future direction of the Academy. Let's kick things off. Elaine Pretorius is the Executive Director of Medical Services at the Limestone Coast Local Health Network. She joins me for a chat. Elaine, g'day.
Morning, Ewan.
Elaine, our borders are open. COVID is eventually going to come into South Australia. Are we prepared for that eventuality here at the Mount Gambier Hospital and across the Limestone Coast?
I believe so, Ewan. We've been doing a lot of work to consider all the possible contingencies. It's very hard to know what is going to happen. Crossing fingers that the best outcome is that we'll see a little bit of COVID in the community, that we won't be overrun with people with severe COVID disease as Victoria and New South Wales were. Mm. But of course, as the health service, we do have to think of the worst possible case scenarios as well. And we've been doing that in the last month. And we believe that we are ready.
There are some changes that people will see as they visit the Mount Gambier Hospital. What changes have been made?
There'll be two major changes. The one is that everybody has seen the big marquee in front of our emergency department. That will be the presentation point for all people who present to the emergency department. That is other than people who present as a Category 1. Now, Category 1 is defined as people who have a time-critical condition, you know, so if they present with a stroke or a heart attack, those people will go directly into the negative pressure room in the emergency department and will be safely managed that way. Mm. Everybody else will present to our marquee and will undergo a screening questionnaire. And that screening questionnaire will determine one's risk of having acquired COVID. Now, initially, of course, we expect that very few people will have a positive questionnaire. But I think as time goes on, probably in the next 3 weeks, we will start seeing some community spread of COVID. People who are identified to be at risk will then remain in the tent and have a rapid antigen test. If there's no risk identified, people will go straight into the emergency department and be managed in the usual way. The rapid antigen test is a little bit different than the PCR. It only takes 15 to 20 minutes to get a result. So within 20 minutes of coming to the marquee, one will have a result and then we'll be able to determine, can you safely go into the emergency department or do you have to remain in the tent while we determine where you go from there? Mm. There has been a little bit of a change in that the regional hospitals will be admitting some people with COVID. So if you present with a broken ankle and by chance have COVID, you won't be transferred to the Royal Adelaide Hospital. However, if you present with symptoms of COVID disease specifically, such as, you know, the respiratory illness, the shortness of breath, severe coughing, those people will still be transferred to the Royal Adelaide Hospital. At the other sites across the Limestone Coast, people will be presenting to different parts of the emergency department and they will also be undergoing the screening questionnaire. And in each of our emergency departments, we have a separate area where people with potential COVID will be kept until we have a final result. Now, I've been reading a little bit on Facebook, people saying this is an overreaction or that it's a bit over the top. The problem for us is that, you know, COVID is an aerosol spread. That means that it is in the air. As soon as somebody with COVID enters our emergency department, all other people, whether they're in the waiting room or whether they're in the cubicles in the emergency department, all other people are then at risk of having COVID or having been exposed to COVID. That is why we are separating people who potentially could have COVID and are making sure by testing first and then moving them through the emergency department. In an emergency department or in hospital, there are people who are immunocompromised, the very elderly, and for them acquiring COVID in our ED would be unforgivable. And that is the reason why we're being very careful at the moment. Some big hospitals such as Flinders and the Royal Adelaide have the opportunity to split the emergency department in two. Unfortunately, our EDs across the coast is not big enough to do that, and that's why we're looking at alternate ways to manage while we are making sure that people who come to us for care aren't exposed to COVID disease.
Elaine, two questions, I suppose, in one. Should people in the Limestone Coast be apprehensive? And how are the staff at the hospitals feeling about what is going to maybe transpire over the next couple of weeks?
First of all, I don't think we should be trepidatious. I think that we should be careful. We are now going to be exposed to people coming across the border who might be asymptomatic COVID carriers. Although vaccination decreases the risk of acquiring severe infection, it doesn't eradicate the infection completely. So the continuation of public health measures, such as social distancing, such as wearing masks in close proximity and indoors, remain very important. If people have not had their vaccination, I would strongly urge them to reconsider. Make their booking. We've got lots of booking slots available across the whole of the Limestone Coast. Regarding your second question, Ewan, I think staff have mixed feelings. You know, that feeling of, are we there now? I think there is a little bit of relief that it's now finally happening because we have been planning for quite a while. But I think people are also a little bit anxious about what might come. You know, we've seen our colleagues in other parts of the world and in Victoria and New South Wales really be under pressure with the number of presentations, and we're desperate that that not happen here in South Australia. The other thing that I might mention is that, you know, our staff have been exposed to a lot of abuse and unpleasant people in the last few months. People are irritated by having to have the vaccine, or they're irritated by the screening questions or the QR codes at our hospital sites. And I just ask very gently that people be good to our staff. They haven't implemented all of these requirements. They are simply doing their job. And I think this is an important time as we move towards the Christmas season that we're kind and gentle to each other, and especially our staff who have been working extremely hard in the last 18 months.
Elaine, I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for joining us this morning to explain the situation. We'll catch up soon and we'll talk again.
Thank you very much, Ewan. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, Limestone Coasters, on to brighter things this morning. If you're a farmer in the Limestone Coast and you are looking for another income stream, let me tell you, you are going to want to hear this. Liz McKinnon, the Executive General Manager of the Green Triangle Forest Industry Hub, joins me for a chat. Liz, g'day.
Good morning, Ewan. How are you?
Yeah, good. Now, Liz, at the moment, the forestry industry are looking for farmers. They want to plant more trees. What's going on?
We do need to plant more trees. This is why the Green Triangle Forestry Hub was set up. We're one of 12 hubs across Australia now, and a key objective in our work plan is working with farmers so we can understand how to grow our estate, because we need more trees. The demand for wood is going to quadruple nationally by 2050. That's not just nationally, that's internationally as well. So we need to get more fibre, and we think a partnership with farmers is the way to do that.
Now, Liz, are you looking at, for sake of argument, leasing land from farmers? Or are you looking at farmers diversifying their products, basically, and planting trees as another avenue for cash flow?
Look, all options are on the table. What we're asking for is for farmers to come to us and tell us what they need. We know there's been a lot of experience in the past in this region in working with farmers, some successful, some not. So this is about shaping something that's going to really work for the future. We know with the carbon market coming online, that provides additional annualised returns for farmers as well. So we want to sit down, work with them, and really shape something that can be sustainable ensure we all, you know, get benefits from it in the long term.
Mm. Liz, how many trees are you guys hoping to plant over the course of maybe the next 10, 20, 30 years?
Look, there was a target of 200 million in the next decade for this region. That's part, we believe we could deliver one-fifth of the 1 billion trees that the federal government have identified. But look, we don't want to put targets on things. This is about sustainable growth. We want to work with what's achievable with our farmers. So, you know, we're not looking to take out whole swathes of properties. You know, this, we want to look at portions of farms that aren't productive, that aren't necessarily being used, that might be able to provide a new cash flow for these local producers. So this project's about bringing together 12 months of work by the Hub. We've been working with Industry Edge, Tim Woods, who's one of Australia's most trusted forestry consultants. So he's gone right through our wood flows to understand what we're currently doing with our fibre, because we want a zero waste industry. So there's a lot of work being done by our forest growers and our sawmillers now to optimise what is coming out of the ground. But we recognise that that's not enough. There's already a 600,000 tonnage gap in the market. And we recognise that by working with farmers, we can potentially fill that gap.
Liz, how can farmers find out more?
Best place to go is the Green Triangle Forest Industries Hub Facebook page. The launch will be on the 2nd of December. We're doing this as part of the popular UniSA lecture series, which are held regularly at the Mount Gambier campus. So even if you're not a farmer and interested in what the timber industry is doing, we really encourage you to come along and learn more.
Liz, great to talk to you this morning. Cannot wait to talk more about it.
Thanks so much, Ewan.
Loso Coasters, James Morrison Academy had their final end of year concert in the last couple of weeks. I have got the man behind the James Morrison Academy on the line. James Morrison, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan.
Hey, James, I read with interest during the course of the week that the James Morrison Academy is going to head in a really cool new direction. What's going on for you guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, as everyone knows, it's been a weird couple of years. To put it mildly, there's a quote for you, a weird couple of years. But we've had students on the wrong side of borders and faculty stuck in places and all sorts of stuff. But we've gotten through and it's been great. But our partner, you know, with UniSA, we knew that was coming to a close at the end of this year. They've got all sorts of stuff going on with their third-party program. So we've been looking at what to do next and whether we could continue with the bachelor degree the way it was or whatever. And it's one of those COVID stories where, you know, you probably heard this, people sort of go, well, there was something I've been thinking about doing for ages and I probably never would have got around to it, but COVID came along and that forced us into it. It's one of those. I've always wanted to also get into another area of music education, because whilst the bachelor's degree thing's been fantastic and we've had great results and it's been really good, it is very focused. It's just people in tertiary, just people doing a bachelor's degree in music. And I want to be much more broad than that. So my great friend and mentor, Don Burrows, spent a lot of his life looking for young people who were disadvantaged in some way as far as music went. They didn't have access to great music to get inspired by it, to learn about it. And that could be because of geographical reasons. It could be he went into Indigenous communities. It could be right in the middle of a city, you know, with a socioeconomic problem for a school that just doesn't have access to music. And so we're going to do that. So the Academy's still based in Mount Gambier. We're still at the town hall there, a smaller operation there. And we're going to be a pop-up academy and go out to wherever we're needed with our faculty. And I'm happy to say with a lot of our alumni too. And do workshops, do concerts. And then at different periods, we'll bring people in from all over the place. And we're talking about here, not just the southeast. I'm talking about far north Queensland, Western Australia, anywhere. We've even had inquiries from Spain.
Wow.
To go and do some pop-up academy there. Bring people back to Mount Gambier for special events here and classes and workshops and so on. So it's pretty exciting, and it means we can now sort of look where the need is and teach there rather than saying, look, we just give bachelor's degrees to tertiary students, you know. So it's quite exciting. And as I say, it's something I've thought about a long time but really never would have got around to if COVID hadn't come along and put a stop to the tertiary program. So silver lining.
Now, James, I've got to ask the question, will we see the tertiary program come back in some form, maybe in future years once the difficulties of COVID have calmed down? And do you know where the first pop-up of the James Morrison Academy is going to be?
Okay, I don't know whether, for second question first, I don't know where the first one's going to be yet. Where I'm off this week just on a regional tour around South Australia, going to Renmark, Port Pirie, Port Lincoln and Whyalla, doing some concerts with some alumni with me. And so we're sort of getting around there and meeting people and playing some concerts, but also talking to the schools and so on. So that's more of a research trip. But I don't know where the actual first program will be. That'll be in the new year. And as far as the return of the tertiary program, look, anything's always on the table. You know, I'm passionate about jazz and about education and music. So who knows what'll happen.
And again, given the fact that Generations in Jazz is in our backyard, you're in the perfect place to, you know, influence a whole heap of kids who love music.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, there's a great legacy there, of course, and the Academy has added to that. And now this next chapter, the Academy will add to it even more. So I got to tell you, I was on a phone the other day with an agent of mine in Munich who looks after Europe. And he said, I heard the Academy is scaling down. They're going to be popping up all over the place. So I guess you'll move your office to Sydney, will you? And I said, no, it's staying in Mount Gambier. He said, why would you keep it in Mount Gambier? I said, mate, I'm a jazz musician. That's the jazz capital of Australia. And he said, oh, right, of course it is. But it's great that idea that, because there is such a legacy now, people all around the world do know about Mount Gambier and about what's going on here jazz-wise and Generations in the Academy. And that's just growing all the time. So I find that quite exciting.
James, I'm so glad to hear that the Academy is staying based here in the Limestone Coast. I so look forward to talking to you in 2022 about the pop-ups of the James Morrison Academy.
Thanks so much, mate.
That's it for today's podcast. I'll be back Friday morning with everything Limestone Coast. Don't forget to catch up with everything happening across the Limestone Coast. Make sure you look out for the Mount Gambier Local Guide on Listener. You can catch up with me live on the radio, 6 a.m. weekday mornings on the Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.